Before we start share tonight, on behalf of my family and myself, I'd like to thank everyone who generously participated in the Hanukkah gift that I received this past week. Extremely generous, extremely thoughtful, and I'm very appreciated. It's easy for me to come every week and give a share. It's my job. But for you to come every week after a long day of work and dealing with your own families, it's something really special. And I get a chizik from it. And I stay up late preparing the share, but it's easy for me to prepare. It's fun to give a share. But to come every single week and come out and never miss is a very big chizik for me. So I thank you for making the share what it is today, because without the people who come, whether it's physically or listen online, the share would not continue. So I thank you very much for all that. And Mr. Shem, we should continue to grow together and learning for many, many more years. Amen. Tonight's share is for Refuah Shleima, for Rachel Esther Bas Matel, a family member of someone who's very involved in our shurim. We wish her a speedy recovery. At 9:15 here in the Young Israel, there will be an Asifas Tehillim for the family in Brooklyn who already lost three members of the family, and three are still very sick. We are not stopping our share for that. We feel that learning Torah is also very important. But if anyone wants to leave at 9:15, I wouldn't be insulted at all. And you can just leave and don't feel bad. But we are going to continue our share. And for Keret, our Torah should be learned for Refuah Shleima, for those family members that still need a Refuah Shleima. And some of them are in a very bad situation. I just read on Yeshiva World on my way before that there was an infant that was hurt at a chasana in Eretz Yisrael. A table fell on a baby, very, very sad. So there's no shortages of tzaris and klal Yisrael. So hopefully our learning today should be able to be poiled many yeshuas in many different places for many different people. Tonight's share is an interesting topic that it's not really talked about a lot, I think, in many different areas. But really children, as much as we love them and their tax deductions, but they create an interesting area in halacha that needs to be discussed. I felt like after Shabbos Chanukah, when a lot of people spend time with family, with grandchildren and family, you'd be shocked how many interesting shailas that come up when dealing with children. So we all know, obviously, children are not mechuyevim mitzvahs. That's the way it works. You're not mechuyevim mitzvahs until you hit 13. We also know there's a concept that halacha called chinuch, which we'll touch upon tonight, where there's an obligation for sure, a father, possibly a mother, that's also a big discussion, to educate your children to do the right thing. But most of us feel if you have a child under the age of chinuch, let's just say for tonight's share, under six is under the age of chinuch, most of us feel like that's like a free-for-all. That kid is a boy or girl, doesn't matter, they're free. They're putter, mutter, they can do everything and anything. They could do anything for you because they're not in the category of, big parting Torah mitzvahs. As we're going to learn tonight, that's really not correct. And we're going to see tonight that it's very possible if a person tells a child to do an isser, you yourself are even isser deraisa. How many times have people, when the air conditioner turns off on Shabbos or the light turned off, they tell the little kid, go turn the light on. I'll tell you the truth, for the same price you could turn the light on, you get the exact same isser. And the difference is not only that you even isser deraisa, you can't even derive pleasure from the act that the child did. So you have to go back out and sit in a different room. So we're going to see that the idea of children and using them for Chilul Shabbos is not as simple as people use it today. And I think this is something that people are very guilty of. And I think we've all seen this before, of when something goes wrong on Shabbos, you ask a kid to do it. Is that really permissible to ask a kid to do malacha on your behalf? So the truth is, there's really two types of children that we need to discuss. One is a regular child that's not your own child. Neighbors, maybe even a grandchild, a nephew, niece, boys, girls, doesn't make a difference, but it's not your own child. What we're going to see tonight, hopefully, is that your own child is even more complicated. Which means if you tell your own child to turn off a light switch or turn on a light switch, you're not only over one Isser Deraisa, you're probably over two Issurim Deraisas. Okay? So we're going to have to try to split the two when we're talking about your own child and we're talking about someone else's children. So let's start from the beginning. Very interesting story the Gemara in Yevamos tells us in Daf Kuf Yudal and Amar Aleph. The story really starts in the bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel, the last line. It goes on top of the Yom. The Gemara tells us the following story. One day on a Shabbos, they lost the keys to Beis Medrash. This was before they had the combination lot, the punch-in ones that we have today. But they lost the keys to the Beis Medrash. So I'm sure some people are very excited. They can't go to Yeshiva that day. Doors are locked. So what happened? They got lost in the Mishnah Sarabim B'Shabsa on Shabbos. So how are we going to open the Beis Medrash to have Seder? How are we going to do what we need to do? So also, Kami the Rebbe Pedas, Amaleh, he said, I have a great idea. Zildover, Tali, Vitali, Vitali, Hassam. Rashi, I didn't put it down, but Rashi says, go take the little boys and little girls, to bring them to play in the Rishas HaRabim. If they find the keys, Maisi, they'll bring the keys back to us. So they had a problem. How are we going to get the keys in Rishas HaRabim? Back to yeshiva. So we'll bring all the little neighborhood kids, take them out of the playground, bring them to the middle of the busy streets, probably not so safe, and one little kid will find the key and he'll bring the keys back for everyone else. So the Gemara says, that's okay. So the Gemara says, Almo kesava, we see from here, katan oichan levelos ein bezde mitzvah nafrishe. That if a child on his own decides he wants to eat not kosher food, you don't have to stop him. You're not mechoyev to stop a child who wants to eat not kosher or to do any other aveira. So these kids want to go find keys in the street, pick them up. I don't have to say a word. I don't have to stop them. That's what the Gemara says. This is a very big term that we're aware of, katan oichan levelos ein bezde mitzvah nafrishe, which means if I see a small child sitting on a park bench with a big yarmulke and payas, and he's sitting there eating a cheeseburger, it's not my business. He's not my son. I have no mitzvah chinuch. Meikir adin, I can let him eat this. The truth is, this comes up a lot. My wife tells me she works in a public school where there's a lot of Jewish children. And not necessarily on purpose, but many times some of these kids are eating not kosher. So are you obligated, if you see a kid who's wearing tzitzis, he's got a yarmulke, and by mistake the teacher gave out snacks. She told me it's interesting. In the public school, they're very careful, the teachers. They're not Jewish themselves. But they try so hard to make sure everything they give out in the class is OUD and the chumras and, you know, chavis, you know, the whole shebang. They're very frum. But sometimes it slips. The kid eats not kosher. So I'm watching a kid sitting on, you know, nice Jewish kid, he's eating not kosher. So technically, by letter of the law, I'm not mechuyev. If he's my kid, I have a chiyev chinuch. He's not my kid, not my problem. That's what it seems like from the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Leima misayel, abing yiraya. La yoymer adam letinik. A person is not allowed to tell a child directly, havali mafteach, bring me a key. Havali choysim, bring me a seal. Elam enichu teidish menichu zarek. So the Gemara ends up answering at the end of the Gemara that we're talking about a case of a derabban. Since the whole issue was only derabbanon, by a derabbanon definitely ain mitzvah nafish, you don't have to stop. Okay, so you see from this Gemara that if the child is going to be doing an issue of derabbanon, you don't have to stop. That's one Gemara. What's the next Gemara? The Gemara tells us like this. In the number two, the Gemara continues in Yevamos. The Gemara tells us, Tashma. The Gemara is going back and forth with this idea of Bezdim Mitzvah Nafrisha and not Bezdim Mitzvah Nafrisha. Do you have to stop, as a bystander, a Jewish child, from doing this? So the Gemara says, Tashma. Loi soichum ki sheketzeim. The Torah discusses what we're not allowed to eat, what adults are not allowed to eat. It says the Torah, don't eat it, because they're disgusting. So the Gemara Rashi points out, the Gemara makes a drasha. The Torah already told this many times, that you're not allowed to eat shkatzim. Why is the Torah repeated again? So the Gemara makes a drasha. Loi sachilum. Not only shouldn't you eat it, you shouldn't feed it to others. Lahazir ha'gedoyle malaktanim, to warn adults from feeding macholos asuris to children. So the Gemara says, my love, da'amaluhu lo'isechel. So what does it mean? That you have to tell the kid he's not allowed to eat it. So I have to stop him. You just told me I don't have to stop him. So the Gemara in loy, to lis v'luhu b'yadayim. You're not allowed to give it to him with your hands. I don't have to stop him, but I can't help him be over the issue. We're obviously going to have to understand, what does it mean to list who be a dime? Does that mean I buy him the cheeseburger and stuff it in his mouth? Or I put it in his hand, I put it in front of him? How involved am I in the action of being considered that it's my fault that this child is eating? That's one drush. The Gemara says again, Tashma. It says in the pasuk, Kol nefesh mikem lo yisoy chaldam. Everyone, all of the people are not allowed to eat blood. So the Gemara again, Lahazir hagdayim laktanim. That you're not allowed to give blood to a minor. My love, the amr luhu loisachelu. What does it mean? If you see a kid drinking blood, you gotta stop him. You just told me ain bez mitzvah nafrishay. So it's more loy to like listen to your diet. Doesn't mean you have to stop him. It means you can't help him. If he comes to you and says, "I want a cup of blood," you can't give it to him. So we see this again, repeated idea that there's a distinction between letting him do his own thing and helping him do an aver. The Tneiver. Right, so this is the question of why is this not a typical case of the Tneiver. Because the simple answer is the kid doesn't really have an issur. He's not getting any punishment. It's a funny thing. I'm going to get a punishment for an action that the child doing won't get punished. He's not a Barayinshim. So he's not a Barayinshim. He's okay. According to most Rishonim and the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, this is an issur deraisa. If you give macholos asuris to a child, you're even an issur deraisa. It's amazing. The kid's going to eat it, nothing happens to the kid. But I will get an Isser Deraisa from this pasuk of giving non-kosher food to a child. Well, that's an example. Kid screaming on Shabbos. So you know what? You give him crayons. Put him in front of crayons and let him color on Shabbos. Keep him quiet. I'm even Isser Deraisa. That's an issue deraisa of helping a child do an aver. Ayel Tami, he's a child. You're right, he's a child. He doesn't get in trouble. I get in trouble because I can't help him do an aver. That's what the Gemara says. It's a special gzeirsa kasev. A special gzeirsa kasev of loy lisvul hubi yadai. It's not misayeh. There's a specific issue deraisa. So the question is why? Why did they do this? So this is a big discussion. If you learn it to the raisa, okay, we don't ask kashas. But there's a Trumas Hadeshin with the Chaim Moser as a tshuva, we discuss it heavily. The Trumas Hadeshin says it's the Rabbanon. And the reason for the prohibition is we don't want little kids growing up being used to doing averus. Very logical idea. If a kid who's 4 years old, and he gets used to remembering that adults gave me all these, he's going to grow up thinking it's mutter. So the reason for the rabbinic prohibition was because we don't want the child to get used to this type of behavior, thinking it's okay because adults gave it to him. But we don't assume like that. We assume, like the Mishnah Berurah actually passes, we'll see in a few minutes, that this is an issur d'oraisa. What's pshat in the issur d'oraisa? Okay, maybe it's not so much for us to discuss. It's d'oraisa, Torah says so. But we're not allowed to help a child. Wait, the question is, what does it mean to help? There's a lot in between. Classic example, a kid is crying on Shabbos. So you put the kid down in front of one of those toys that light up or make noise. Would that be included in this issue? Then the kid touches the electricity or something like that. That might be included in Lisvu B'yadayim. I'm helping the child be over an issue. Now, if the kid walks over on its own and pulls off the shelf a toy that is an electronic, it's working with electricity, fine. That's different. All right, the question always is for parents, do they have to turn off all the muktzah toys before Shabbos? Because my son, he's 4, he loves the muktzah toys. He sits there during the Shabbos and he takes it, he has a keyboard. He plays Mamashev's mirrors, live's mirrors with a keyboard. It's beautiful. It's only one problem. We bought this Casio from a Jewish place. And the one song that they have in the demo is a Christmas song. It plays over and over. So the whole Hanukkah, all I heard was jingle bells, the ganze Hanukkah. Unbelievable. My wife called up the store, she complained. He says, nothing we could do better. Unbelievable thing. Okay. As I get this. So the question is, as a parent, it's more complicated. I have a chitim mechanachim. But it's not my kid. Do I have any problem? Would that be a problem if a kid's kvetching? Right? You're the grandfather, right? You're not interested in dealing with the kid anymore. He's been kvetching a whole shop. So you put him in front of something that you don't keep busy with. But it's usur. He's going to be touching usur. So we'll see. There's a big machloikis we showed him. If it's the raisa or the rabbanon, and also how close you put him. Right? What does it mean? I take the kid, I put him right in front of the markers and the paper, and I say, go color. Right? Would that be a problem? Or the kid sitting in the living room, I say, just go up to your room and, you know, do whatever you have to do. I didn't tell him what to do. He could go up to his room and, you know, sit on the floor. I didn't tell him directly. So we have to try to see what exactly would be included in this prohibition. Now again, this prohibition has nothing to do with my kid. It could be the neighbor's kid also. It could be a non-relative, any child, any kid. This is a problem. This is not age dependent. We're going to see this even for the smallest of babies. Mishabu Paskins, most Rishonim Paskin, a Ben Yoima, a one day old baby. This does not matter how old the baby is. So what does the Gemara say? One more Pasuk, Tashma, Emma Vamarta. In the parish of Tumas Kohanim, it says, Emma Vamarta, Lahazi Gedoyim Alaktanim. That is a specific prohibition for Gedoyim to make sure their Ktanim don't become Tamim. My love, the Omer Lulay Tetamu. That means if you see a Kain, a Ben Kain, a 5-year-old kid, who wants to go play in the cemetery. So you have to tell him, hey, Tato, you're not allowed to go in there. I thought, Ein Bezim Tzuvim Lafrishi. So I think, well, you're right. The Litmu Hubi Daim. It just means that I'm not allowed to give him something to me. I can't take a kid by the hand and walk with him into a cemetery if he's a Ben Kain. Okay. So we have 3 psukim, which are all different. The first two are Machalas Asuris, the last one is Tumah. But the Paiskim say, we learn that from here, as a Memetzinu, L'chalatar Kula, that there's a prohibition on any adult to help a child do an Isser, no matter what the Isser is. One could have made the argument that what happened to being Shloishik Suva Bom Kecharim Alamdin? If the Torah repeats something 3 times, shouldn't we say to ourselves, it's only these 3 and nowhere else? It's a funny thing. We know 2 psukim is a machlokes. 3, the Gemara says, is a malamdin. So why do we make the memetzin? So that's a little bit of an aura that is somewhat discussed. But the assumption is not like that. The assumption is this is a problem. Okay? So we have to be careful that we don't help children in any way be over any form of an issue. Let's try one more Gemara, and then we'll try to tackle.
So quite a little, what is beside you? Small children, you have to Shabbos.
So I think it might depend on a couple different factors which we haven't yet seen. We'll have to see a bir halacha that's gonna. Every week my wife asks me, do we have to turn off all the muktzah toys? And I'm thinking to myself, if I have to turn off all the muktzah toys, I need another 2 hours to prepare for Shabbos. And as is, I'm an hour behind. And that doesn't mean that's a heter, but we'll have to see. Is it really true that you have to? Well, let's just see one more Gemara, and then hopefully we'll be able to tackle the issues at hand. There's a Mishnah in Shabbos. Mishnah is in the 16th parak. The Mishnah says like this: Nachri shabal lechabois. If a person never has a fire, and a guy shows up to extinguish it, so Zok the Mishnah ain't aimim like kaveh. You're not allowed to say to him, go, go, extinguish it. But you don't have to stop him. You're not mechuyi for his business on Shabbos. He could do whatever he wants. But if your child, your own child comes to extinguish the fire in the house, ain't shaymin boy. You're not allowed to listen to him. You have a chiyuv for his Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says, Shemami no, katan echel velis, pezim mitzvah lafrishay. You see from this Mishnah that you're not allowed to allow children to do whatever they want. Right? This kid shows up. He wants to be a firefighter. He's 7 years old. He's all ready to be a firefighter. He wants to put out the fire. Why are you stopping him? Let him do whatever he wants. He's a kid. He's not bound by the Torah. So you must see from here that we are responsible for stopping children. So the Gemara says, no. Here is unique. Why? This is unique because we're talking about it's your own child. If it's the neighbor's child, yeah, fine. But if it's your child, we have a problem. Why? Because every child does it al das aviv. He does it for his father. So the Gemara says, 1 second. So what, when the firefighter shows up, what's he doing it? He's also doing it for your benefit. Maybe not directly. So the Gemara says, no. He's doing it for himself. So Rashi says, what does it mean the child's doing it for himself? So if you look at Rashi, number 4, Rashi says, al das aviv, b'katan she'adua la'havchin she'akiba yizeh noich la'aviv, he realizes that taking out this fire will make my father very happy. V'oise b'shviloi, and he's really doing it for his father. So the question is, so what? So what's wrong with that? So we'll see, hopefully later tonight, that Rashi and Chumash says, you see from this Gemara, the second type of Isra of Shabbos, that not only am I not allowed to directly tell a child to do a malacha, I'm not allowed to allow my child to do something that he's doing for me. This is my child. I never told him a word. But if I know my child is doing a malacha deraisa for me, I have to stop him. This is the second category of Isurim with children. This is your own child, that I have to stop him if I know he's doing it for me. What happens if the kid's doing it for himself? He's not doing it for me, he's doing it for himself. So what? That's shayla number one. Shayla number two, what happens if he's doing... The house is burning down. Who gains when the house gets saved? The kid, mom, dad, the brothers, the sisters, everyone gains. What's that considered? So you see from this Gemara that a fire is considered for the father, not for the child, which will have major ramifications, halacha l'maisa. These are the two, three very important Gemaras that we need to work with. How does this all fall out? So Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Simen Shin Mem Gimel. Simen Shin Mem Gimel is the second to last Simen in the Mishnah Berurah's Chelek Gimel. Most people think Hilchos Shabbos ends after Chelek Gimel. They forget about Chelek Dalet. Chelek Dalet is a very important Chelek in Mishnah Berurah. Besides for the fact that it has Shabbos and Erevin, it has Kiddush HaChodesh, it has Rosh Chodesh, Kiddush Levana, talks about Challah, a lot of very good shmaka things are in Chelek Dalet. But people think that once you finish Chelek Gimel, that's it. You finish, Hilchos Shabbos is over. But this is the second to last Simen in Shulchan Aruch, in Chelek Gimel of the Mishnah Berurah, Simen Shin Mem Gimel. Mechaber Paskins clearly. If I see another child doing an Isser, I do not have to stop him. Avol aviv mitzuva ligarboy. But a father, if it's my child, I have to step in and stop him. Ula frisha mi Isser. Ula hachila biyadayim. But to actively feed someone, asr afilu dvarim shasur medivei seifim. That would not be allowed even for something which is only on a rabbinic level. Let's say, for example, Bishal Akum. Let's say, for example, I'm in someone's house, and I watch the cleaning lady or the nanny, I watch her make the food. No question. After the fact, because I watch her do it. There's no question. It's Bishal Akum. And I see her feeding the kid. So do I have to stop her? Do I have to say, listen, lady, I'm sorry, you know, I don't mean to mingle over here, but you can't feed the baby that. That's Issa Durabon. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if I know that something exists in the Rabbanan, I can't actively give it to a child. If I know something is considered rabbinically asr, I am not allowed to feed it to a child. That's us. You're not allowed to get a kid used to being mechal Shabbos and Yom Tif. Even things which are only rabbinically prohibited. Says the Ramah, this is all a child under the age of chinuch. Then all of a sudden you have to step in. You can't allow a child that reaches the age of chinuch to do what he wants. Bezdin doesn't have the mitzvah of chinuch. Elo la'av b'vad, it's only the father's responsibility. No one else has to worry about chinuch. Okay.
Does that therefore mean that uncles or grandfathers...
So Pashtis, we'll talk about grandfathers a little later, but Pashtis, the assumption is right. It wouldn't be uncles, it wouldn't be grandparents, it wouldn't be the rav of the shul, it wouldn't be the president of the shul, no one else. It's just the father's problem. If I see a 4-year-old kid sitting there coloring with his color book on Shabbos, I walk on, it's not my problem. I'm not saying you don't have to get involved. You could get involved. You don't have to. You don't have to start, you know, ripping the crayons away from the kids and stopping it. Okay. So let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. Mishnah Berurah writes over here, Asur, what's Asur? L'chol Adam, any person. V'afilu atinik eina bar havona klal. Even if the kid has no idea what they're doing. A baby has no idea what they're doing. V'dover zehu osam in atoira. This would be a deraisa. V'afilu lamadich sebishratzim loisachelum. V'kar yiseiru. V'kibul chazal deratzim loimel loisachelum mektanim. It goes to all the things we learned already. We learned from here, we'll just skip to the last line. It's an issa derais. Ulechein, paskas and mishta brura. Also lit in latinic dova machash al iser. You can't give non-kosher food to a child. I feel lasachik ba. Even if the kid's just going to play with it. Why? Shema yoichlenu. Maybe the kid will eat it. Vahave kim achila biyadayim. And that would be considered as if I fed the child. If I hadn't put it in his mouth, I put it in the kid's hand. But if I put not kosher in a child's hand, and later on that child ultimately eats it, I will be held accountable for an issa derais. Which is interesting. I was a few days ago, I went to one of the banks, and they have all these lollipops sitting out. So some of them are kosher, some of them are not kosher. So they always, the tellers always tell me, oh, give to your kids, give it to them. So I always say, no, it's not healthy for them, this and that, but it's not kosher. So let's say you give a child, just to keep the kid quiet, so you give them the not kosher lollipop. And then what happens, by the time you turn around, the wrapper is off and the kid's in the kid's mouth. According to Mr. B, you were just diving into their ice. You gave your child, someone else's child. You gave them not kosher. I didn't put it in the mouth. I let them play with it. And they took the wrapper off. The Mishnah says, that's enough involvement. That's called safulu hu b'yadayim. That's called feeding them. So therefore you fed them not kosher. You yourself are over in Issa d'Arais. The Magen Avraham is really the source of all this, as the Mishnah Berurah tells us. It's the Magen Avraham. Where do you get that from? Where do you learn that if I give something also for a child to play with, that's considered I fed him? There's two steps involved. The kid's playing, and then the kid decides to eat. Why am I held accountable for the secondary stage? So the Magen Avraham writes, it's a Gemara. Mefurish a Gemara. Where's the Gemara? So if you look at number 7, the Magen Avraham writes, V'isa soif perek test of Shabbos. The Gemara at the end of the 9th perek of Shabbos says, the also lead to the tinnik chagav chai tome. You're not allowed to give a live grasshopper to a child to play with. L'sachikba, to play with it. It's before they had, iPads. So kids have nothing to play with. So they used to give them grasshoppers to play with. Okay? Now we give them, Apple phones. So I'll tell you, why? Shema yomas v'yachlanu. Because maybe the grasshopper will die and the kid will eat it. So the kid talked to Magen Avraham, what do you mean? So what? Why is that my problem? I gave the kid a live grasshopper to play with. Now the grasshopper dies, the kid sees it, that's my fault. Says the Magen Avraham, yeah. You see from the Gemara that when you put it in the kid's hand, although there's another step required, you're held accountable. And if the kid turns around and eats it, you're chayv. That's enough. There's only one problem. If this is the guidelines, we're going to have a problem. There's an interesting Ramon Shulchan Aruch Hasim Shin Mem. Number 8, the Ramon quotes Aloch and Shin Mem like this. Says the Ramon, also the Shaber Ugo Shekasav Aleh Kamin Oisiyis, you're not allowed to break a cracker that has words on it. And this is obviously a bigger sugi than tonight, but you have crackers that have words on it, so you're not allowed to break it. Afa Pisha Eina Mechav and Rak Lachil. Even though when you break it, you don't want to be meichik the letters, you just want to eat it. The Havi Meichik, it's still us. Okay? So that doesn't bother us so much. But look at number 9. Number 9 says, Mr. Bura, Umoto Litna Litinik. But you could give it to a kid. One second. Frank, this is also comes from the Magen Avraham. Asks the Machtzis HaShekel on number 10. He says, 1 second. How did that make sense? You told me a second ago that if I put a live grasshopper in a child's hand, that's considered helping him do an Isser. Yet when I give him a cracker with words in it, where he'll ultimately chew on the cracker, break the cracker, eat the cracker, and he'll be meichik, that's mutter. Why is that any more or less involved than the first case? What's the difference? You're not being consistent. So if the Machzor Shekel number 10 asks, he says, 1 second. This all comes from a Mordechai. He says, the guidelines that the Magen Avraham just told us earlier, which is putting a grasshopper in a child's hand is considered feeding him, so why am I allowed to give him a cracker with words in it? Why is that not the exact same stats? Mamash is the Magen Avraham. So one way out of this would be based on the Rashba that I mentioned to you earlier. The Rashba has a very big chiddush l'halach, which is quoted by the Beir Halacha. The Rashba holds, if I give something to a child, which is only asam midrabanan, for the benefit of the child. It's for the child's benefit, not for me. I don't help the child do an issa for me. It's for the child. I get nothing out of it. So then the Rashba holds that's completely permissible. So one could argue, give the biscuit case, the cracker case, is only asam midrabanan. It's not really meichik, it's only meichik midrabanan. When I give the cracker to the child, it's not for me, it's for the kid. So based on that Rashba, this Ramah is not a kasha. Because I'm giving the child an issa derabanan for the child's benefit, the Rashba holds it's not awesome. So that's one way out of the contradiction.
Peace and quiet
for
your benefit.
I was just thinking about that. Is that considered a secondary hana? Yeah, it's really for the child's benefit. You know, yeah, agav, once a child is... I could have given something else probably to eat, you know, but I gave him this because I know the kid likes it. So the chut shani, this in Karelitz, in number 11, has his own way to answer up this kashan. He writes like this, v'yesh loymar, ta'afta loy kaimel on kai raj, b'dis v'le de modelis v'z l'kodnes de rabbonon. He rejects my possibility. He says, we don't paskin like that, Rajma, that you're allowed to give a child something which is awesome with the Rabbanon. He says, let's be honest. Even though the Rama prohibits it, there's a lot of reasons to why even an adult would be allowed to do it. Even by the Gadol, so he basically wants to say that it's not really so awesome. It's really debatable awesome. Something debatable also that you could give to a kid, but something which is outright also that you would not be allowed to give to a child. That's how Nissen Karelitz wants to answer it up. Although the Rama says you can, he means it's not the end of the world if you did. Now, there's one other interesting Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Sukkos. How does this have any relevancy? If you look at the Mishnah Berurah number 12 in Tof Resh Mem, Mishnah Berurah writes, Ulekule alma also lahachel lekad biyadayim chutzas sukkah. Let's say you're on a chalamay trip on Sukkos with your children, the neighborhood's children, and you have a 5-year-old kid there and he's hungry. So you brought bagels. So you give the kid a bagel. He eats the whole bagel outside the sukkah. So like the Mishabu, you're just over an Isser. You can't give a kid bread outside the sukkah. You want to give him maybe fruit, fine, fruit, water. Give the kid a bagel, that's awesome. So like the Mishabu, be careful next time you take the kids on a chalamay trip. Says the Mishabu number 12, Ulukuli alma asr lahacha lakatim yedayim chutz sukkah afil adamaycha. The hainu, what's included in giving a child food outside the sukkah, leet in the teich piv, either you put it in the kid's mouth, or you command the kid, say, here, you eat that bagel. So the kasha over here is 1 second. Why is that the only time that's considered tzvi b'yadayim? The Mishnah Berurah told us in Hilchos Shabbos that tzvi b'yadayim is enough to put in the kid's hand. So if I'm on a challah mitzvah with a bunch of little kids, and there are 5 and 6 year old kids, and they're all kvetching that they're hungry, so I pull out a bunch of challah rolls, I give out a challah roll to each kid. According to the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos, that's Tzvi B'Yadayim. I just gave a kid a piece of Isser. So Mishnah Berurah over here doesn't say that in Hilchos Sukkos. He says you'd only be over the Isser if either you stuff it in the kid's throat, in the mouth, or you command the kid. You say, you better eat that challah roll. But if I just give out challah rolls and I don't say a word, then I'm not over the Isser. So there's another steer in Mishnah Berurah. What is the definition, according to the Mishnah Berurah, of Tzvi B'Yadayim? What does it mean to give with your hands? So Nissen Karelitz is also bothered with this. And the truth is, there's really a mug in Avram. Hilchos Yom Kippur that answers up this kasha, but Nissen Karelitz says it like that also. In number 13, he comes up with a lomdusha answer. What's the difference between putting a not kosher grasshopper in a child's hand or putting a challah roll in a child's hand where there's no sukkah? One would have argued that it's the exact same thing. It's going to lead down the exact same path. The child is going to eat it outside the sukkah. Now, if the child goes over and takes the challah roll, that's the child's business. But if I give a child a challah roll in a park where there's no sukkah, that's ultimately for sure causing the child to eat outside the sukkah, which is us. So it says in this in Karel, they're not the same thing. He writes, I didn't give the kid, we'll use more yeshiva, lamnusha terms, I didn't give him a chefza shal iser. Chala on sukkahs is not a chefza shal iser. The kid could opt, in theory, to either not eat it or wait till he finds a sukkah. As opposed to a grasshopper, we'd call that a chefza shal iser. That's something that you're not allowed to eat. So he writes over here, this food is kosher, it just has to be eaten in a certain place. You can't say that I fed the child. Now I just told you there's no sukkah anywhere in the park and he's not leaving the park because I'm his right home, but that's okay. But if you give him a chetz of the iser, you give him a piece of grasshopper, which is not kosher, that would be called chenois l'machas shel iser. Okay? Whether or not you understand the chiluk, I'm not saying I'm convinced on it, but that's clearly what you're going to have to answer for the Mishnah Berurah. But it's something to keep in mind when it comes sukkah's time. When you're outside a sukkah, or there's no sukkah available, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you're okay as long as you don't stuff it into the kid's mouth, which most of us don't do, or command.
But is it an issue for the child to eat out of the sukkah?
There's no issue for the child. It's an issue for me to cause the child to eat outside the sukkah. It's a bitul mitzvah saseh. We'll call it a bit of a say, to which the Mishnah Berurah seems to associate it with our sugya. Now, so let's talk a little bit more practical. Now that we have some of the guidelines, now we can try to tackle some of the more common shalas that come up. So first of all, in number 14, the Sefer Archa Shabbos, the Perek Chav Dalet, the Archa Shabbos has the entire Perek Chav Dalet devoted to this topic, about the ins and outs of dealing with Ketanim on Shabbos and other halachas. So he writes, first of all, we haven't yet talked about what practically is considered Sifu B'Yadayim. The Mishnah Berurah said that included in Sifu B'Yadayim means giving him something that's not kosher, or telling him to do something which is not allowed on Shabbos. What happens if I don't tell the kid, right? The air conditioner turns off Shabbos afternoon, and there's a four-year-old sitting in the room. I say to him, you know, it's really hot in here. So the kid says, oh, geshmak, I'll go turn the air conditioner on. Is that allowed? So he writes over here, no. I don't tell the kid explicitly, go turn on the air conditioner, which I've seen parents do. They tell the kid, go. Yankala, go turn on the lights now on Shabbos, right? The lights are on, you go turn them on. Okay, that's not right. Either he's just going to hint it, let's say you tell the kid it's mutter. Parents do this all the time. They say, don't worry, it's mutter, don't worry, you can do it. Besides the fact that it's horrible chinuch, because the kid's going to grow up and either realize his parents don't know what they're talking about or something's wrong, not a good idea. But you tell the kid it's mutter. You tell the kid, yeah, for you, you're allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos. It's a tzarich. You're a mitzvah boy, right? Says the Archa Shabbos, gamze bechlal sviya asura. This is also included in the prohibition. So you can't be meramizit, you can't fake him out, you can't lie to him, nothing. None of this is allowed. So that's what we need to talk about. What happens if you don't directly get involved, you're somewhat more indirectly involved, we'll have to see. There's a very important Shulchan Aruch Rav over here, number 15, with the Shulchan Aruch Rav, has another way, or similar way to what we said earlier, to be mechalik with the Isser Sviya B'Yadayim. He wants to suggest that the only time there's an Isser Sviya B'Yadayim is only on Machalos Asuris, because that's what the Gemara was talking about. Those cases were Machalos Asuris. So if I give a kid a cheeseburger, that's a problem. But for, let's say, something like Shabbos, if I were to put a mukzah toy in front of a child, that would not be considered Sviya B'Yadayim. That's what he wants to be mechalik, and that would answer up a lot of kashas. That would answer up the Ramah about the cracker. That would answer up the case of sukkah. That would answer up a lot of our kashas if you say that it's only machalos asuris and not true by other things. But most achrayim don't assume like the Shulchan Aruch Rav. But that's an interesting idea that would be relevant la halacha. That's another shaila. What happens if it's something which is questionable? Something as a chumrah. You don't do it, so can you? Right. So that's what we're going to have to talk about. That's going to come up in a second. You know, that's a shot I had a few nights ago in my house. My daughter is 1 year old, and she likes to have bottles of milk, and she also likes to have chub liver. So am I allowed to give her? I'm just put it on her tray, or put it in her mouth, chub liver, right after, or shortly after, or the same time as chub liver. That's milk and meat. It's not cooked together. It's not bishul. So there's no hamtana, so that would be nisid rabban. But it's not for my ben. I get nothing out of it. The kid gets out of it. It's healthy, whatever it is. So that's what we're going to see. Would that also be included in this problem? That's sviya b'yadayim. My mom is putting it into the kid's mouth. The Be'er Halacha and Simin Shin Mem Gimel brings down a machlokes rishonim. The Mechaber said very clearly that I cannot give to a child something which is asid rabban directly. It's still asid. Says the Be'er Halacha, but it's not so pashut. V'dasa Rashba, the Rashba Vaharan says no. Dimatinik tzarich lekach. If the child needs it, it's for the child's benefit. Mutter afilu lisvos biyadayim davishu asam derabon. I would be permitted to directly give the child something which is asam derabon. We spoke about this Rashba quite a few months ago, maybe even years ago, in another completely unrelated topic, the topic of medication. When we talked about the kashrus of various medications that children take, the liquid medications that have flavor and some form of a good taste. So we discussed back then that there might be kashrus issues. So some people want to use this rashba to justify it. Because past this, whatever you're going to give the child in the medicine is only going to be nisid rabbanon. And although you're actually giving the kid, your mom is soifa biyadayim, but you're doing it for the tzarech hatinik, you're not doing it for you. Doing for the kid to get better. So some paiskim want to say that it would be mutter to feed a child medication that is only rabbinically aser, which most of it is because you have bittul anyways on most of the medications. Therefore, what happened to the mechaber? This Rashba argues on the mechaber. He says no. It's only isui deraisa I can't give a child. But we're talking about obviously a child who's not sheish b'sakana. A child who's a chayli sheish b'sakana, obviously all bets are off. Now, some of the ailments that children have could be strep throat. Potentially could be, it's not chayli sheish b'sakana yet, but if the child's not going to take any medication, you're going to have a major problem. But let's say something which is clearly less problematic, an ear infection. an ear infection is not a chayli sheish b'sakana on any standard. Someone just told me there's new studies out that are stopping to even give medication for ear infections. They're just going to run their course and get better naturally. Okay. So therefore, let's say your child gets this medication. So according to the Rashba, you'd be allowed to give the child the medication, be a dayim. You don't have to worry about the kashrus because it's an issur rabbanon and it's l'tzarich hakatan. Again, Mechaber does not paskin like this. That's the Rashba. So how do we paskin? Says the Ber Halacha, Acha Mechaber sasam l'dina kedasa cholkem aleim. That's not the way the Shulchan Aruch ruled. The Shulchan Aruch ruled that even a Suri Rabbanon. The Kasab, the Chuvah Kiva Eger, there's an interesting Chuvah Reb Kiva Eger. Interesting Shia. Let's say, for example, there's no Eruv. And you want to take the kid to Shul, you want to take the kid on a walk. So you tell the kid, here, take your favorite toy, take a bottle of water, and let's go for a walk. So you're giving the kid a Dover Aser, he's not going to walk around the neighborhood without an Eruv. Would that be a problem? So let's assume we're talking about a place that's only a Rosh Hashanah de Rabbanon. It's not a Rosh Hashanah de Rais. So would that be allowed? So Kvega writes, Al Dover Tiltul Hatsvarm of the basic Knesses. He was talking about a slightly different case. He's talking about a case where you need to get the Svarm. The rabbi's got to give the share and the Eruv is down. So how does the rabbi get the share? How does he get his Svarm where he needs to go? Right? He didn't make the photocopies before Shabbos. What does he do? So he tells the kid, listen, bring all the Svarm with me to Shul. So says Rabbi Kveger, but Makim Shein Eir Vaidei Tinuk, Iyesh Lismach Vazal HaRashba. Can you use the Rashba? That holds the word, the Issa de Rabbanah Tzafilei B'yadayim. That if it's only an Issa de Rabbanah, you are allowed to do it. Vaheish Rabbi Kveger said, what are you talking about? There's a Enoi. The Rashba never said that you're allowed to allow children to do a Suri de Rabbanah on Shabbos. The Rashba meant if it's for the Toivas HaChild. The child gets nothing out of carrying my Svarim to Shul. What does he get out of that? That's not the Tzarech HaTinuk. That's the Tzarechi. That's for my benefit. The Rabbi Kveger says that's not an option. However, he says, what you could do is v'yesh takon alitin al chumish latin chumish v'sidish yisla basic that's tzarich hatzmai. You tell the kid, listen, we're going to go to shul now. And the kid says, I don't want to go to shul. You tell him, here, bring your chumish from school, bring your siddur from school, and somehow you need that sefer. So it's really the tzarich hatinik. Let's, for example, you want a bottle of water on your walk, so you tell the kid carry the bottle of water. So it's a tzarich hatinik, but you're allowed to drink from the water also. So says the Ber Halacha, in such a case, I can use it also. Once a kid brings the syrup to shul, I can use it also. Once a kid brings the bottle of water, I can use it also. So therefore, it sounds like from the end of the Ber Halacha that we are somewhat open to the idea of using the Rashba. So if we're open to the idea of using the Rashba, so that opens up a whole new level of permissibilities. Let's say, for example, a kid wakes up Friday night scared. He has a scary dream and his room is dark. And he says, I want the lights on. Can you tell your 4-year-old, go turn the lights on? L'chayra, if you assume, and there's a lot of ifs in this, that turning on an electric light would only be Nisid Rabbanim. Okay, depending on the bulb. Assuming it's not one of those good old-fashioned light bulbs, it's an LED, which is probably only Nisid Rabbanim. And you're telling the kid, turn it on for the child's benefit. It's not for you. The kid's petrified. He's not going to be able to sleep. So you tell the kid, don't worry, turn the lights on in your room. L'chayra, according to this Rashba, that would be permitted. If you don't accept the Rashba, it would be awesome. You can't tell the kid to turn the lights on. That's telling him to do an issa. That wouldn't be allowed. But if it's only an issa rabbanon, the chayr would be mut.
You're getting benefit as well as the child?
Yeah, again, you're getting benefit that the kid's not going to jump on your head, but it's really for the kid. You don't need to get the light on in the room. It's really for the kids to sleep at night.
The kid's hot and you're
hot. So that's going to be a bigger problem. That's what we're going to talk about hopefully in a few minutes, of when everyone gains. How does that work? Okay, so let's see one more Ramon Shulchan Aruch. The Ramon writes in Shin Samach Beis, this is already in Hilchas, we'll call it Erevin. The Ramah writes the following scenario. What happens if you forgot something in a Shas Rabbim? No Erev. How do I get it to where it needs to go? Says the Ramah, Yoyser Oid, if you know what's better, bring the kids there. You don't have to make mechitzas, let the kids bring it. It's better to bring the kids to the Shas Rabbim and let the kids bring it home. This is Mamish the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos said, when the kids are in the Rishas Rabbim, you got to get them somewhere. So bring the kids to the play, take them away from the playground, bring them to the Rishas Rabbim, let them bring it back. Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'ho, she'en atinik yodei she'chev yizehu shalavith. It can't be that the kid knows whose keys they are. Ula hanas atzmeh humuschavim ba'avot sa'oiseh. He's bringing it back just for his own benefit. Avalim yodua she'chev yizehu shalavith. If he knows this is my dad's keys, the assumption he's doing it for dad. You have to stop him. That's not allowed. So you see from over here that again, the only time a child would be allowed to do anything if he's somehow doing it for himself. If this keys would somehow be a toy for the child. But if it's doing it for his dad, that becomes usher under all circumstances. Okay. So one of the most common shailas that the Chayim talk about is the refrigerator. What happens if you come home Friday night and you realize that you forgot to take the light bulb out of your refrigerator? Right? Now, the first thing I do whenever I get a refrigerator is get rid of the light bulb, throw it out. I don't want to see anywhere near it. It just creates problems. So I just get rid of it so I don't have to worry. It's a little dark. Okay, I find the pickles in the back anyways. It seems to always work out. But you get rid of that because it always presents shailas. But let's say you forgot. And now the refrigerator, you open it, the light's going to go on. So what do most people think? Oh, we'll get the kid. Have the kid open the refrigerator, right? Tell the little Yanko, come here, open the refrigerator door. Is that permitted? So we have to work it out. What would be wrong with opening the refrigerator door? Let's go best case scenario that opening the refrigerator door for the child is a misasik. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know light, no light. He knows he opens the refrigerator door. He gets something to eat. So he is not mechaven. We'll make it a nisa derabanan. So what? According to the Shulchan Aruch, you can't have a child do a nisa derabanan. So if you tell the kid, Yanko, come here, open the refrigerator door, that's awesome. What happens if the kid walks in on his own? He doesn't know what's going on. He's oblivious to the whole world. He opens the refrigerator door because he's hungry for a snack. So the chayra, one would have argued that would be okay. Now, he writes over here the following psak in the Sefer Orcha Shabbos. He writes, "Mikareir sheshochu lenatik mimenu asanoiro." You forgot to take out the light. Ain loy malakot leftayach asadas. You cannot tell the child go open the refrigerator door. Kadesh yuchel haitzi mamikareir tzarech asuda. Beinim hu benoi. Whether or not he's your son, ubein him uadam achim. If he's not your son, your son's friend's over. You can't do that either. Why? Because that's mamash what we've been learning. That's telling a child to do an issur. The yesh kan sviyas issur lekotim. Shemalik has a noise, causing the light to go on. Va'af po'ifin shakot in yedei shanari tidlik. Let's say the kid doesn't know if we get the misasik, it's only issur rabbanon. V'kom mokim yesh b'zeh sviyas issur rabbanon lekotim. That's still osur. V'arei zeh osur. Which means he's assuming we don't have the right to accept the kula of the Rajbo. We have to follow the Shulchan Aruch, and it's not allowed. He writes in the bottom, he says, Nire, tebi mekarisha pu'ula nasa letzor kol b'nei habayis ke'echot. He's doing it for the whole family. Right? When dad calls him over and says, Tatala, open the refrigerator door. So he's doing it for everyone and himself. So he writes, lo yamin in the mikri tzor koi shol katan. That's not enough to say he's doing it for the child. L'inyin zeh shel osi l'misrach. That's considered he's doing it for the whole family. Why? Because the one who really gains from this whole pula is who? Yeah, of course. Now that they open the fridge, the kid gets the soda that he wants at the Shabbos meal. But who in the greater scheme of things really gains from the fridge being open? It's mom and dad. It's the adults. Now they can have a Shabbos meal. So therefore, he thinks that that's not enough to say the child's doing it for himself. He says, how do I know this? He says, I'll prove it to you. The Gemara that we quoted earlier. The Gemara says, in Shabbos, a kid comes and he sees his house burning down. So the Gemara says, you have to stop him. Why? Because he's doing it for the father. He's not doing it. He's doing it for himself. His bedroom is burning down. What do you mean? The answer is no. Although he does benefit from the malacha, at the end of the day, he's doing it for mom and dad. It's for the benefit of the family, and therefore that's not allowed. That's what he wants to pass.
Was it the power if you said to the kid, bring the water out of the fridge? So in the process of doing so, he opened the door.
Okay, that's something we need to see. How far indirectly can we talk about? Now, you're not telling him directly to open the fridge. You're saying, there's something really yummy in the fridge, and then he goes and takes it out. So that's something we need to see. So if we stop right here, it would be somewhat of a problem. The next scenario that the Achranim feel more comfortable about is, let's say the lights get turned off or turned on, or the air conditioner goes on and goes off. So again, you may not tell the child to turn the air conditioner on. What happens if the kid says to himself, I'm schwitzing in here. It's hot. I want the air conditioner on. The kid walks over to the air conditioner and pushes the button. Pashtus, that would be fine. He wasn't provoked by anyone. No one said a word. Again, I didn't say to him, oh, it's taka, very hot in here. Nothing. I'm sitting here quiet. I'm sitting here sitting in the dark or sitting in the heat. And the kid goes on his own. He's old enough to be a bar hachi. Now again, if he's so smart, you might have to stop him as father. If he's your kid, you might have the mitzvah of chinuch may kick in and say, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to do that. No, he's not your kid. He's a neighbor. He's a nephew. He's not your kid. Not your problem. You're no mitzvah of chinuch. So then he walks over that, l'chayru should be okay. How many times have people seen scenarios, and I've seen this myself, where someone turns off a light switch, they take the baby, and how many times have we seen this? They take the baby over to the light switch, they stand the baby by the light switch, and there's two different versions. Some people stand the baby by the light switch, wait for the kid to turn it off. Or some people take a little kid, they tell the kid, Tatla, put your hand by the switch and go up and go down. They tell the kid what to do. Now, telling the kid what to do is for sure awesome. I don't care how old the kid is. That's sphia b'yadayim, which is awesome. But the Achrayim talk about the case of what happens if you're not so bad. You know, let's say, for example, you have a baby. So you take a baby on your shoulder, and you stand by the window, you stand by the light switch. And the kid plays, the kid moves his hand up and down, and moves his hand. Would that be considered Sophia B'Yadayim? So most Achrayim are comfortable saying that that would be allowed. Because if you think about it, what did I do over here? I brought the kid to play. I don't know, I brought the kid on my shoulder. I happened to situate the child right behind the light switch. I know the kid likes to move his hand up and down. And right when he moves it in one position, I'll move the kid away very quickly. They say it's mut. So if you look over here, number 21, in Sefer Shevet HaKasi, he asks the Shaila. Im roitza l'chabes or b'cheder v'shabes, you want to turn off a light. He muta l'hamed hamita im atinuk ben shona etzal ha-sheker, t'shishrek bo'av yichvenu. He talks about moving the bed where the child is there, a one-year-old child, and the child will eventually do it on its own. Again, I never prep the child. I never tell the child. But I leave the kid there long enough, the kid will do it. So he has an interesting raya. He says, I bring you a raya from the Gemara. What was the case of the Gemara? With the keys in the street. What happened over there? The Gemara says, bring all the kids to the play, take them from the playground, put them in the Shasarab. And then what? What happens there? So he says over there, Mashma afagav de moilich hakotin. You took the kids to the Shasarabim. Who said you're allowed to schlep the kids in the playground, put them in the Shasarabim, and then they'll pick up the kids and bring it home? The Gemara says you're allowed to do that. So therefore, if the Gemara says you're allowed to do that, you see from the Gemara that bringing a child to a matzif where he decides, again, you don't say a word, where he decides to do it, that's not considered Sfiya B'Yadayim. That's what he wants to paskin. And therefore he says, Hachanami Mutal Chari, the Karev Mitas Hayelad. He says you'd be allowed to bring the child's bed close to the light switch, and whatever happens, happens. Some Achrayim go even further, and they say you can actually take the child. You can actually take the child. If you look in the Sefer Bris Olam, it's written by Reb Zilberstein, he goes even further. He says, it's the lights on. On his hands. Let him play with the light switch. And through that it will go out. So again, some Achrayim say you're allowed to put the chair next to the light. Some say you even bring the child to the light. But you can never tell the child or move his hands. I've seen mothers take the kid's hand and they flick the switch down. I'm not sure what they're thinking they accomplished. That's mamash also. But people do these things. People do these things. It's very troubling to see, but people do these things. This is all relevant to not your child, a regular child. We didn't have a chance to see it. I'm not sure if we'll see it on a part two, but what's even more complicated is there's a specific prohibition for your own child. The Mechilta, Rashi quotes in Parshas Yisroi, that there's a specific prohibition. Not only can a neighborhood child not do malacha that you tell him to do, your own child has a specific issue. So the obvious kasha is, if I'm not allowed to tell the neighborhood child to do malacha, so why do I need a specific issur to tell my child he's not allowed to do an issur? So they quote in the name of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik a huge chiddush. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said, if I tell the neighborhood child to go turn off the light switch, I'm over an issur of lois achilum. But I'm not a mechal on Shabbos. If my child does malacha for me, I'm a mechal on Shabbos. I have a din of a memumer le mechal on Shabbos. That's a huge chiddush. Which means if I tell my kid who's 4 years old, turn off the lights on Shabbos for my benefit, according to Reb Chaim, not only am I even Isser, I was as if I myself were Mechal Shabbos. I have a din of a mumr. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva, the Melamed Lohoyel have a tshuva, where it used to be that kids would go to school on Shabbos, and they'd carry their books with them through the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And their father was the Sheikhet in the town. The problem is if the father's the Sheikhet, and now he has a din of a mumr. Now the father's considered Mechal Shabbos. Is he still Kashel Shechita? A big discussion that Achrayim talk about. So I don't know if we'll ever get to it, but there's a specific halacha for your own child. So not only can I tell the neighborhood child turn on the light, I can't tell my own child. And this is Shaila, what about some people say even grandparents have this prohibition. I can't tell my grandchild, go turn on the light, or go turn off the light, or go color. Not only can I tell it to a neighborhood child, I can't even tell it to a kosher again, my own child, which I'd be over two isurim. And according to B'chaim, not only am I over an isur, I become a machal Shabbos, a mumal machal Shabbos. So we have to be very careful when we interact with children. Just, you know, stay away from the whole Shabbos. It's a lot easier. You get much more nap time, that's for sure. But we have to be very careful as using our children or other children as our heter amir l'nachri. Amir l'nachri is not mutter. Without the guidelines that it is, and nor is using children to do malach on Shabbos, that is a very serious prohibition, whether your children and other children as well.